It's time for Hog Sports Live from HogSports.com, a division of 24/7 Sports, presented by Crane Automotive. The Crane Team's got them. Visit them online at craneteam.com. And now with the latest breaking updates on Hog Sports, here's Trey Biddy.
What's up, everybody? Trey Biddy with HogSports.com, HAWGSports.com. We've got plenty to get to on today's show. Arkansas football with three commitments, the latest one happening today. We'll discuss all of that. Of course, basketball, we're looking at what options are out there. And, of course, there's a few Razorbacks that are kind of in limbo. We're going to talk to Connor Goodson a little bit about what's going on with basketball and, of course, baseball with a 2-1 series win over the Ole Miss Rebels over the weekend. Going to look ahead what's next with the Oklahoma Sooners and a little bit more. All that and more on today's episode of Hog Sports Live. The Crane Automotive team knows stretching your dollar is important. With prices at the pump, interest rates, and everything else, we focus on making your life more affordable by offering vehicles with the highest rated fuel economy and safety features, plus a large selection of crossover vehicles. We make it easy to get on the road with a vehicle that won't break the bank. We have a vehicle for every lifestyle and every budget. Come get one at one of our 17 statewide locations or visit craneteam.com today. Hog Sports Live is driven by the Crane Automotive team.
You've done it. Now you're the Crane Cash Champ. You just won big with the Crane team. Go ahead, soak it up. How could you not feel like a winner? You dominated with our low price guarantee, and you got way more for your trade. Plus, with statewide delivery on thousands of vehicles from 16 locations, and the fact that we'll beat any other dealer's price, we make Arkansans feel like champions every day. That's winning. That's the Crane Team. Visit craneteam.com.
How could you not feel like a winner? Jeremiah Dipp feels like a winner. The Marion running back committed to Arkansas at 3:45 on Saturday. He had a lot of options out there. Arkansas, Auburn, Ole Miss. Ole Miss was thought to be kind of a big one for him. Miami, Vanderbilt, several others in addition to those. But picked Arkansas at 3:45. And here's what Gabe Brooks, who's a recruiting analyst for this territory, says. He's a hard running back who's also gotten valuable reps at receivers and the return game. Keeps pad level low and uses leg drive to regularly finish runs falling forward. Effective inside-outside runner whose economy of movement and balance help add yardage to interior touches. Often a one-speed runner who can enhance his speed chaining nuance to maximize a big play threat. More of a functional athlete in pads than a top-end burner, but junior track numbers show improvement in higher gear, projects to the P4 level as a possible higher volume option who could also be a factor in deeper position room that mixes and matches relative to personnel situation. Multi-sport athlete also competes in track and field. So a nice get from what he was told by Arkansas staff, like he's their guy, their target. He's the number 2 ranked prospect in the state of Arkansas. 24/7 Sports ranks him the number 50 overall running back recruit in the country. Again, 5'9.5", 5'10", 190-pound addition for Arkansas, which Arkansas is starting to get rolling a little bit. Now, the most recent one, and we'll get to Mosley here in a second, but the most recent one is also for this most recent recruiting class. Jathan Hatch. I actually saw him. I was walking around football practice. When was that? Maybe a week before the spring game. And just kind of, you know, all the recruits have a tag. And I'll just kind of, you know, glance over and maybe see who's there. And Jathan Hatch was one of them. He's a safety out of East Mississippi Community College, originally from Mississippi, 6'2". 190 pounds, also had Southern Miss, Troy, UNLV, UT Martin, but he will enroll and be a part of the 2026 football team. So I guess maybe, and they did appear to have a spot remaining based on my scholarship distribution, so this makes sense. But he also had, Hatch was the state of Mississippi's number 29 overall prospect in the class of 2024 when he signed with Louisville over Ole Miss, Kentucky, Cincinnati, Southern Miss, and Tulane. He was recruited by Eddie Hicks to Arkansas, who is also from Mississippi. So another addition for the secondary at safety. We've talked about the safety position being an area of unknown. I don't want to say concern just yet, but maybe it's concern because safety hasn't been good since, man, I can't even remember. It's been a while since safety has been good. It used to be like we talk about Arkansas as safety U. Hadn't been that lately. Darian Mosley is the other commitment. He's a 5'11", 185-pound wide receiver from Alabaster, Alabama at Thompson High School. He is for the class of 2027. He's rated highest on the 24/7 Sports composite ranking, which combines all the rankings, 491 nationally, 62 wide receiver, number 20 overall in Alabama. He has Arkansas, of course, Mississippi State, Louisville, Utah, Arizona State. He took official visits to Arkansas June 12th, Mississippi State, Louisville, and Utah. So those were all of his official visits that he took. This is what Andrew Ivins, who's the director of scouting, says. Productive inside receiver that finds soft spots in coverage and makes defenses pay. Not the biggest or the fastest target, but is almost always working for his quarterback as he shoots his hands while sliding into throwing windows. Can produce after the catch with his acceleration, power, and vision. Should be viewed as a potential trusted slot in a modern spread attack that can be a game changer with his football IQ and competitive drive. Also a multi-sport athlete. Had 68 catches last year for 1,128 yards and 7 touchdowns. So 3 new additions for the Razorbacks. Danny lists him also having interest and offers from Mississippi State, Missouri, Utah, Arizona State, Syracuse, Kentucky, Nebraska, Vanderbilt, Louisville. So where does that put Arkansas right now? 9 commitments for the class. Doesn't seem like a whole lot, but Arkansas actually has moved up lately in the rankings. They're number 26 nationally now. They are 8th in the SEC out of 16 teams, so right in the middle of the SEC right now. Again, 9 commitments. Nobody has. Oklahoma is leading the pace with 21 commitments so far, including 11 4-stars. But then after that, the next highest amount of commitments is Texas A&M with 13. And it's kind of interesting when you look at the rankings, they're basically by number of commitments. Texas A&M is 2nd with 13, along with Kentucky. Florida is 4th with 10. Texas is 5th with 10. Georgia has 8. Missouri has 9. They're 7th. Arkansas has 9. They're 7th. Tennessee with 7. Mississippi State with 7. LSU with 5. Ole Miss with 8. So Ole Miss is, it's an interesting spot for Ole Miss to be 8th. Well, they have four four-star commitments. But they are. I guess because they only have 6 totals. They have a couple guys that are unranked. That's why. Alabama 13th with 5, Auburn 5, South Carolina 6, Vanderbilt 4. That's your top 16 right now. So it is very largely based on the number of commitments that each of those teams have right now. Odefe Oruru is the highest ranked commit in the class, 6'6", 310 from Jinx, Oklahoma. He's also the only 4-star in the class. Jeremiah Dent now is the 2nd highest rated commitment in the class. So remember, Jathan Hatch does not count with that group. He is a 2026 class guy. Hey, I'd like to tell you about our friends over at Blakeman's. Blakeman's Fine Jewelry is proud to be the official jeweler of the Arkansas Razorbacks. Ben Blakeman and his team had an exciting year in their new flagship space at 3202 Pinnacle Hills Parkway in Rogers and are continuing their signature hospitality and service in 2026. Visit them and they'll offer to clean your jewelry, offer you a coffee beverage from Cafe B or a glass of their own Blakeman's Prosecco, which, by the way, is offered at various stores in Northwest Arkansas. If you can't make it, did you also know that you could shop them online at blakemansfinejewelry.com? It's time to start thinking about Mother's Day. If you haven't already, it is time right now to start thinking about Mother's Day. It's coming up here in just a couple days. So visit our friends at Blakeman's, and they also offer delivery if you shop online as well if you can't get there. Built on tradition since 1987, Blakeman's has been Northwest Arkansas's trusted destination for exceptional jewelry and personalized service. All right, we're going to get to Connor here. Connor's going to update us what's going on with basketball. Connor, if you're ready, I'm ready for you. Connor, how's it going?
I can't complain, Trey. It was a pretty quiet weekend, all things considered. And, yeah, just could be here a while with this Arkansas basketball roster getting wrapped up.
Connor's joining us on the Ozarks Go hotline. You can reach out to them at 479-684-4900 or go to ozarksgo.net/hog if you're looking for fast, consistent, reliable internet service at a great price. Connor, so what's got to be done? Obinna Ezeki has committed to Louisville, and that seemed to be like kind of the answer for Arkansas at center, with basically everybody coming off the board of note. So what are they going to do?
The pickings are slim right now for Arkansas, and I know for a fact that this was not the plan to make it to May without having someone on the board at the five spot. I know for a fact that's not the plan, and they're not necessarily in scramble mode, but you're probably going to have to get creative here, and whether that's looking overseas at the vast amount of people that are over there, the available options over there. Maybe you get a little bit more creative and just look at adding a guy like a Micah Hanlockton, who is waiting on a waiver. Obviously, we talked about Malik Ewan and his waiver potential there. You just don't know. And I do know that a guy like Micah Hanlockton, obviously, he's had meetings with the staff. He's been in contact with the staff. They really like him as that centerpiece kind of five man who has SEC experience. But you're still waiting on a waiver. You don't know what the NCAA is going to be able to do and what their mind is going to – whether they're going to pass and accept his waiver decision, or if they're going to, you know, wake up one day and say, you know what, never mind. So I think that you're just kind of in limbo seeing if, one, are they going to be able to get some clarity on these waivers, you know, before you get guys on campus – because you never know when – I mean, he could drag out all the way to the fall. Or do you just go ahead and pull the trigger on maybe an international big? And a guy like Obinna Ezeki was kind of their pivot, like, okay, we missed out on the top 30 bigs. Now you got to pivot to a guy who's going to have to reclass, and he doesn't end up going to Arkansas. And so now you're just kind of left. There's very slim pickings. And if I had to bet right now, their best chance of getting a competitive five is probably a guy like Hanlockton getting his waiver situation.
Tell us a little bit more about him.
Yeah, so Micah Hanlockton played at Florida, 7'1", 260. He's a guy that kind of was – he was kind of on the foray. He never really cracked being one of those main bigs like the Chinyelus, the Alex Condons, the Thomas Houts. But he was a really, really good, like, just kind of off-the-bench guy. And what he does is he excels at controlling the glass. He has one of the best offensive rebounding rates in the country. And he's physical. Like when guys get into the lane, like they're going to feel it and he's going to make his presence felt. And so he kind of just excels at his role. And he's one of those guys that knows what he does well, knows what he doesn't. And he's able to go in there and give you, you know, he was able to give Florida 15, 20 minutes a game, and be one of those key cogs in a team that was able to win the national championship last year. So I think he'd come into Arkansas and probably be looking to get a bigger role. But he, one of the deals was that he, obviously, I believe he broke his leg or hurt his leg and missed the majority of the season. And then he was going to just sit out and use that as his redshirt year, but he decided to come back for the postseason and help Florida kind of go on this run and end up winning the championship. And so that's what his kind of case is against to get this waiver is that, hey, I missed all of the regular season and I only came back for this handful of games and I played sparingly, you know, in this championship run. I was kind of sacrificing that to kind of win a championship. And I believe he only played like 16 games or something towards the end of the season. So I think that he's got a decent case, but you just don't know. You don't know what the NCAA is going to do. So it's you're just kind of up in the air. And if you don't get a guy like him, man, I don't really know. You go overseas, and there's so many different options. But
I mean, don't we want to see Malik Ewan come back at this point?
I mean, at this point, that would be a win. And I know that a lot of people, you know, we've had our issues and talked about our issues with Malik Ewan. At this point, if you can get Malik Ewan the version that you got towards the end of last season, 9 or 10 out of 10 times, I would take him on my team. But it's just, is he going to be able to harness that and do it? But you look at all the other options. If you know, Malik Ewan jumped into he is in the portal, but you look at all the options, he's a top 30 guy. I mean, he's a top 30 talent based on his career and what he gives you and all the other options that you look out there. They're not perfect. Like you're not going to go find a bona fide All-American right now. And so I think that you kind of the time for being really, really picky, you're kind of past that. You're left with what you're left with. And I think that a guy like Ewan, you look at that, that's a pretty good option.
What's he ranked right now in the transfer portal?
I haven't
seen a ranking. Last year, he was 106 overall.
Yeah, he was like the 11th overall center, I think, when he committed to Arkansas. I don't have an update.
Why are we in this spot right now?
Yeah, well, there's a number of reasons why Arkansas is in this. I think when initially this process started, Calipari has a way he's going to do things, and he is kind of set in his ways to where he does not want to get in bidding wars. He's not going to go out and pay the first guy that he's interested in $5 million. Like, he's not going to go get a Flory Badungo or a Samto Cyril and pay 4.5 or 5, whatever their asking price is. He wants guys that are going to come play for Arkansas and play for him and do that. And I think right now where Arkansas is at, it was a combination of guys just getting bidding wars, the market for bigs just getting outrageous, and Calipari just not really having a good plan of attack on how to, okay, well, if we're not going to get this guy, we really need to hone in on getting these people and being willing to kind of go there. And I think that you saw them kind of get behind the eight ball a little early, and some of these battles that they got into, they kind of got they were late to the party in some cases. So I think that going forward, you kind of either need some help from some of these rules getting changed to where, you know, there is a limit on what some of these guys make, which I don't think that's going to happen. But or you need, you know, Calipari to maybe shift how he approaches the portal going forward, because I can tell you from talking to people in the building, this was not the plan. They did not plan to make it to May without a big man. And I think that you saw once they had those first few options didn't work out, it was kind of scramble mode, and they were late to the party on some others. And as we sit here now in May, they have kind of dropped the ball when it comes to the five spot, which is really, really frustrating.
Does Samito have any kind of future as a realistic contributor?
Man, he's got so much potential, but I just don't, from the limited, you know, time.
Literally have never seen him play.
Yeah. From the limited film that he has, he's just a guy that it's like, he's got potential. You see the vision, but it's like, he missed all of last season with injuries pretty much. Like, he didn't get the early in the season when they were doing scrimmages and really going at each other before the season started. Like, he missed all of that with injury. So he was really behind the eight ball. And if you're looking at developing a guy, those reps in the gym are really, really important. So he just doesn't have that experience. And from talking with people that are in the building, it's like they just don't know how he was going to react in certain situations. Like, you need that experience, that game situation, to make decisions on the fly and have that experience of like just being in the moment and banging and beating and see if your body can hold up. And so he needs to add muscle, but he also just needs to add experience in game situations. And I think that that's what's going to tell us whether he's able to eventually be a high major contributor, or if he's a guy that maybe tops out somewhere that's not Arkansas. And so I think that's the question right now. I struggle to put him into that real rotation right now until I can see a little bit more from him.
Connor Goodson joining us. You can follow him at Connor Goodson on X and read all of his content at hogsports.com, hawgsports.com. So, I mean, that just seems to be the question. I mean, there's nothing else really that they're efforting towards as far as, I mean, well let's talk about this because there are some more things. There's Malik Thomas. There's Billy Richmond. And we talked about Malik Ewan, obviously, but where do things stand with those two guys? And you had four Razorbacks also. I want to talk about this. Four Razorbacks invited to the pre-draft combine.
Yeah, that was really cool to see. I think they were tied with Arizona and Houston as the most prospects in the getting invited to the combine this year. Acuff in Brazil obviously joined Thomas and Richmond. They're going to be there next week, May 10th to the 17th at the combine in Chicago. I posted a little bit of an update today in an article. I went through and looked at just all the different mock drafts, and I talked to a couple of people around the program that are familiar with Thomas and Richmond situations. And it looks like right now, just based on feel, one of them is going to be more likely to come back than the other. And a big reason why there's a chance that Thomas doesn't come back is because of guys like Thomas Hout, Braylon Mullins, those guys that ended up, you know, they were first round picks that, you know, projected first round picks that are coming back to college and have withdrawn from the draft. A guy like Morris Johnson, does he return to Michigan? Chinyelu is said that he's probably going to return to Florida. So those guys that come off the board, Malik Thomas's draft stock, he's already a borderline first round pick. So you take out four or five guys, that kind of vaults him up into that late first round, early second round. And so the confidence is kind of waning a little bit on, you know, it's not nearly as confident that he's going to be coming back for another year as it was earlier in the season. Obviously, Billy Richmond, he's shown up on a couple mock drafts, but you don't really know with him. Is he going to be able to wow the scouts enough to get that first round feedback? I don't know. You're pretty confident that he'll probably be back. But if I was a betting man right now, I don't know how good the odds are that we'll see Malik Thomas again in Arkansas jersey.
Yeah, that's disappointing, but also good for, I mean, if he's going to be a first round pick, it makes sense. But hell, Connor, at the same time, I mean, these guys make more money in college now than they do the NBA in some cases, in a lot of cases. And,
yeah,
if you're going to be a back end 29th pick overall, you could possibly make more money at Arkansas.
Yeah, and I don't doubt that Thomas would probably make a little bit more than some of those.
Which is why some of these guys are returning to college.
Oh, that for sure. A guy like Thomas Haug, who's, you know, he could have been, some people had him in the lottery or whatever. He's a guy that, you know, all SEC type player, all American type player. But he's getting, I think Matt Norlander said that he was getting something like $7 million, which was like, or something on top of more like potential to earn even more than that. Just
to play like 30 something games also.
Yeah.
Not 82 plus playoffs. 30 something games.
And I think the old argument used to be like a couple years ago, it's like, well, they want to get that clock started for the second contract.
Yeah.
And like that is a decision, and you know, that's part of the decision for some guys, but it's like, hell, you're just adding you can basically look at it as you're adding another year of making basically what you would on that NBA contract. It's just an extra year of making that exact same money to play in college. And, and for a guy like Malik Thomas, next year's draft, probably not the strongest class. If you came back and you get paid well, you could also vault yourself up into a top 10 pick potentially. So I think that that's really tantalizing. And I think that if I'm an Arkansas fan holding out hope that Thomas comes back, that's what I'm holding on to, is just that he could really, really make a name for himself next season and make even more money being a top 10, potentially top 5 pick in a weak draft class.
What's the withdrawal deadline?
It is May 27th.
Is that for college or pro?
For the withdrawal deadline for people to come back with and keep their college eligibility is May 27th at 10:59 Central Time PM.
Okay.
So midnight at May 28th, but for Arkansas, it's going to be 10:59 PM is when Thomas and Richmond have to withdraw and return to college. So you'll start, I imagine, after the combine, usually that week after the NBA draft combine in Chicago, you start to see guys really start to make decisions, and that's when the snowball starts, and it's going to be a busy week with guys announcing whether they're staying in or if they come back. So definitely an important date to remember.
All right, Connor. Appreciate you, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, Trey.
All right, everybody. A lot to follow there with Razorback basketball, obviously. And a May 27th deadline, I guess, do we know everything that's going on. You guys know how much I value longstanding relationships. Well, I've known Bo Biddle for 25 years. And when I needed car insurance, when I needed homeowners insurance, when I needed business insurance for Hog Sports, I called Biddle Armstrong Insurance. Bo, Rob Armstrong, and their team have over 100 years combined experience. They work with you just like auto owners insurance works with them. Expect local support from somebody you know. Questions about your policy? Call Biddle Armstrong direct rather than 1-800 number. Auto owner's insurance intended it that way, so you don't have to wait on hold forever. Don't settle for a generic policy. Wherever you are in Northwest Arkansas, give Biddle Armstrong a call at 479-443-0808 or visit ba-ins.com. Auto owner's insurance owns an AM Best rating, A+ superior. They trust people like Bo to work for you. Biddle Armstrong Insurance, coverage you need, people you trust. All right, let's go to Cabo. What's up, brother?
Hey, it's always a good weekend. Always a good Monday when you sweep or you beat Ole Miss.
Yeah, not a sweep, but definitely a win, which you want to make sure you do at home. But Cabo joins us at on the Ozarks Go hotline, 479-684-4900, ozarksgo.net/hog. So what did you see out of the series this weekend with a 2-1 win over the Rebels?
You know, Friday night when offense came out and obviously jumped on Hunter Elliott, that was the first time that Arkansas as a team since 2022 had jumped on Hunter Elliott and knocked him out of a game. I saw him as a freshman carve Arkansas up for seven innings. That was in 2022 on a Saturday night. That game ended with Kendall Diggs walking Ole Miss off with a three-run home run, similar to Christian Turner. So Elliott's stuff was not as good as what it had been in the past. His strikeout-to-walk ratio was not even 3-1, and Arkansas jumped on it. So Nate Thompson had a really good scouting report. The next day, the ball's flying out of the yard. Ole Miss really came out on fire. So it's really kind of one of those situations that we've seen before with Arkansas and Ole Miss. If you go back to 2021, they had to play a doubleheader and then a single game the next day. It was doubleheader Saturday and then a single game on Sunday that ended in an 18-14 game. You know, Arkansas got up 11-0. Ole Miss came back and tied it up 14-14. Arkansas won 18-14. Well, the second game of that series, Ole Miss won 13-5. The first game of the series, Kevin Copps came in, shut things down. Arkansas won that. That's when they started their run as the number one team in the nation, top team in the SEC. It was a 2-versus-3 matchup at the time. So anytime Ole Miss and Arkansas get together, something's going to happen. Something crazy is going to happen. But the biggest thing that I saw, Trey, is they showed some fight. They showed a little bit of guts on Sunday. And, you know, this is one of the team that appears to be a front-running team. You know, if they're ahead and things are going good, everything's great. But if they're down, you just haven't seen too many situations, even though they do have four walk-off wins, to where they just seem to have the will to want to fight back. But you saw that yesterday with Christian Turner. They chipped back. Parker Coyle had an outstanding outing, three innings, no hits, after Gabe Gackel gave four strong innings, and that allowed the Arkansas offense to chip away. Aloy had a single, a solo shot. Stewart had a solo shot, and that set up the drama in the ninth inning.
Do you think Gackel did enough to get back in the rotation permanently?
I think he does. You know, the problem is if you take him out of the bullpen, that leaves you with Eves and Tate McGuire. Has Tate McGuire done enough to say, okay, they can rely on him in high-pressure situations? I think it's 50-50 at this point. If they like the matchup and they like the fact that he can throw his slider-cutter combo a lot like, you know, Copps did back in the day when he was just starting to learn that type of deal. His fastball is not going to play up. It's low 90s. Teams are going to hammer it. It's flat. But his off-speed's really good. So if they feel like he can, you know, get them six, you know, maybe nine outs in a weekend, that's going to be critical for him. But Gabe Gackel, look, in seven bullpen outings, the ERA went up. I mean, he was not as good. But, you know, the wind-aided home run on Sunday, that was the only thing, and that really shouldn't have happened because of the error committed by Nolan Sousa and Camden Kozel the play before. So that three-run home run, just a freak thing, and the wind blew it right over the wall. But I think he'll be that third starter moving forward.
Aloy, since the Alabama weekend, has kind of been a different player. What are your thoughts?
SEC player of the week. And I will say this. I was very critical of Kuhio Aloy and the slump that he was in. And a lot of people got on to me about that as I'm just kicking the kid while he was down. Well, that's my job, and to point out things during the game, not just because I dislike the kid or anything. I personally don't know him, but he was – 1-for-22, 1-for-23 going in that Alabama series. He was hitting 167 right about there in SEC play. He has raised his in-conference average roughly 100 points, you know, since that Alabama weekend, since the start of that Alabama weekend. He's hitting 314 now, and that's tied for the team lead. So the ability for him to cover the outside corner, and Nate Thompson talks about players getting in their legs more. Aloy's stance is really upright, like his brother's was his first year on campus. And he's been in his legs a lot more. He's been able to cover that outside corner. He's letting the ball travel, get a little deeper in the zone, and taking it to the opposite field. Started calling him Backside Aloy on Friday night on the message board just because he was hitting everything to the right side. His walk-off a double was a double down the right field line. That's something you didn't see from him 3 weeks ago. So him to be able to hit the ball to all parts of the field, he's getting on plane better, Trey. That's the biggest thing. He was just hitting balls into the dirt 110 miles an hour. Now he's getting on plane. That bat path is staying in the zone longer. Evident by the 469-foot home run that was 117 off the bat. The one he hit to center field was 115 off the bat at a 16-degree launch angle. It's one of the lowest home runs I've ever seen hit over center field at Baumwalker Stadium.
Three home runs over the weekend, which brings him to eight. He only had five before that. So,
yeah, big time.
Pretty big for him. We always talk about Arkansas's chances of hosting. The door still cracked open a little bit.
Yeah, and it's not totally up to them either. I mean, they can win, you know, if they go 6-0, they get to 19-11. It's hard to keep a 19-11 team out of hosting in the NCAAs as a top 16 team. You know, the magic number to get to is 18 because that seems to be the number that people have said over the past 9 years, you know, that they've gotten to. There's only been one other team that's done that, and that's LSU back in the Skip Bertman era. So, yeah, it's still open, but I don't think they really needed to get a sweep, you know, at Missouri and then win two of the next three. But hey, if they sweep Oklahoma, you know, Oklahoma's not playing as good of late. Kentucky's been struggling a little bit. That may help the RPI out. But teams like Arkansas State losing to Old Dominion on the road this weekend really didn't help out. If they would have swept Ole Miss, that would have helped them out a little bit. But we'll see. They're not going to get Carson Wiggins back. Dave Van Horn announced that at the Swatters Club today. That's kind of breaking news. Even though he is 100% healthy, Coach Van Horn says they do not want him to pitch, and he's not happy about it. You know, he wants him to pitch and do something for the university because that's what he signed up for. But it looks like the Wiggins camp is looking, you know, big picture here, and they're getting ready for the draft. So Carson Wiggins' career at the University of Arkansas is effectively over with.
That's tough news. Yeah. For Arkansas there. Oklahoma, number 24, Oklahoma. All three of these games are on SEC Network Plus at 6 o'clock on Saturday, all in Fayetteville, obviously. 6 o'clock on Friday, 2 o'clock on Saturday, and 1 o'clock on Sunday. And then you wrapping up the regular season in Lexington on Thursday, Friday, Saturday. All those games are also on SEC Network Plus, 5:30, 5:30, and 1 o'clock. Anything else to add, Cabo?
No, we're going to start rolling out some what-if pieces for postseason coming up pretty soon over the next week as everything starts coming into picture about who's going to be hosting where. They're going to talk about going to Lawrence, Kansas, Lincoln, Nebraska. We'll take a look at some possible matchups and opponents, some cool storylines over the next couple of weeks.
All right, sounds good. Postseason starts May 19th with the SEC tournament. All right, Kevin, appreciate you, bud.
Thanks a lot, buddy. See you.
All right, everybody. That's Kevin Bohannon. Follow him at Cabo Baseball Guru on X. Read all of his content at Hog Sports, HAWGSports.com. Hey, the new Bet Saracen, you know, the 250 promo, that's actually over. So you can't get, you know, sign up for $25, sign up with a $25 bet and get 250 back in bonuses. But you can still, if you use the promo code BIDDY250, capital BIDDY 250, use that promo code and you will still get $250 back on your first bet for $25 when you sign up at Bet Saracen. Bet Saracen is Arkansas's number one sports betting app.
Arkansas's Fab Five for Bet Saracen.
Yo, Sid, what spread you checking out, man?
I'm checking out the Hogs on Bet Saracen.
You know, Rainwater's exclusive specials and tons of Bet Saracen options make it Arkansas's favorite sports betting app.
And they take more action on the Hogs than any other sports book in the world.
Guys, I am confident it's because we do their TV ads.
I agree with that.
Amen.
Bet Saracen.
So, we'll go to some questions now. We're going to go to hogsports.com, the Razor's Edge Premium Forum. This is from HogFan, JH. In your opinion, has the Big Ten officially passed the SEC with football as far as being the best conference, last three champions? If they have, what can the SEC do to regain the edge? So recently it was announced the Big Ten is distributing $1.37 million. To its member institutions. There are 18. The SEC is at 1.3 1.03 or 1.03, something like that. You also have to consider, you know, the Big Ten, higher income, more higher cost of living, you know, all that kind of stuff. But still, when you break it down, like factor in, you know, the SEC's state's lower cost of living, it's about, you know, $72 million per team, and the SEC is like, it might be 74, and the SEC is like $70 million per team. So it's still pretty close. They have won the last three SEC, or excuse me, national championships. And we'll see. I mean, that's just, and it's been three different teams. It's been Michigan, Ohio State, Indiana. I mean, they're on a good run. The SEC for a long, long time dominated college football and won one national championship over, you know, after another. And it's just kind of, it's turned a little bit. And a lot of that is NIL and money, obviously. So, no, I don't think that the SEC is going to, I don't think we're going to look at it and say, well, the SEC, you know, lost another one or didn't make another championship game and stuff. I think that eventually that'll change. I don't know which team, but eventually, I mean, surely it will. This is also where, I don't want to say all the talent is, but because that's not true, but there's a lot of talent in the South. There just is a lot of talent, and teams have come down here forever to recruit. So I think the SEC still has that advantage, but it's just, you know, it's a lower income area versus the Big Ten. And that's part of why, you know, why they have a better TV package. You know, Brown 1994 says it's May the 4th. So what are your favorite and least favorite Star Wars movies and show? Can we get Chewbacca to play center? My favorite Star Wars movie is Empire Strikes Back, the second one. Maybe easily my favorite. And series, I will say after that, like, you know, the original started it all, obviously. It's, you know, a little more low budget of a film, but it started it all. So it has to be mentioned. Rogue One is really good. I really like Rogue One. And I like the spinoff Andor. I thought that was really good. I wasn't a huge fan of this last one, the Acolyte. It was all right. I don't know. I feel like. I know it's for Star Wars is technically for kids, but sometimes I feel like it should be a little bit more mature. The Mandalorian, I thought, was a really good series. I liked the Force Awakens. I thought that was well done, although it was just basically repackaging the storyline from the original. But I still enjoyed that a lot. I was not a big fan of The Last Jedi. I didn't like the name of the film. I didn't like Luke Skywalker drinking green milk out of that walrus thing. I didn't like the way Luke Skywalker was portrayed the whole time. I was disappointed in that one. So, yeah, I think that pretty much covers it. I don't think that there's anything that I haven't seen that's Star Wars aside from like some of the cartoons. I don't really watch the cartoons. May the 4th be with you, though. Raw Hog says, do you know how close we were to hiring Golish? Where was Silverfield in the pecking order of coaches you think Hunter wanted to hire? Yes, they were. That was happening. Some of the stuff that came out after like this was announced and stuff. So this is exactly what happened. Okay. Golish was one and Kane Womack was supposed to be two. Okay. But Golish, I mean, that deal was basically done in, you know, verbally done. It was so when Florida missed out on Lane Kiffin, they turned their attention to John Sumrall. Okay. Sumrall was pretty well locked in at Auburn the way that Golish was locked in at Arkansas, locked in, quote marks. So when Florida turned their attention to Sumrall, things kind of got dicey. They're like, you know, suddenly like, you know, his representation is kind of like, well, we got some questions about this. And then, you know, the thought was like, hey, I thought this was done. So when that happened and it became apparent that he was heading to Florida, Auburn turned their attention to Golish. And, you know, Auburn's just got a, it's a, you know, it's set up more for success. Now the expectations are at a ridiculously high level at Auburn, for what they've accomplished and stuff, but they do have more resources, I guess, than Arkansas does. And Golish took that opportunity. Womack was right there in the mix. I think what it came down to was the idea of having a guy who was a sitting head coach and maybe some powers that be kind of steered things a different direction. But Kane Womack was absolutely right there in the mix at the very end. And at least on, I believe, Juracek's list was number two until, you know, maybe there was some pressure one way or the other. And then it ended up with Silverfield. With Silverfield, the reaction was there. I mean, it was kind of outrage, I mean, to put it lightly, from Razorback fans. And a lot of that is because, you know, the reports that came out, starting with Trey Schaap, and I had confirmed that, like, this was what was happening from a verbal agreement standpoint. Like, this was what happened. It just is. Like, people can say what they want. This is what happened. Golish was the guy that they had targeted and zeroed in on. And there was kind of outrage when Silverfield was hired because people had wrapped their head around, you know, that this was the guy. You end up hiring the coach that Vegas tells you you're the odds-on favorite to get from the get-go. So, like, you are who they say you are, kind of deal. But I'll say this for Silverfield. Since he has been hired, there's not much that he has done that I've been like, I don't like that. I don't know about that. You know, he can be a little coach speaky, you know, he can be a little cliche talking, but as far as, you know, the way his practices were run, I thought they were very organized and structured. As far as, you know, the things he did right out of the gate, going out and getting some big fish from inside the state, some key guys, you know, obviously from what we see out there at practice, especially on the defensive line, you know, those were positive moves, you know, keeping some of the guys, some of the people that he added to his staff, you know, some of the people from the GM role and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, part of that is not just, you know, just Silverfield. Part of it is also Arkansas, you know, getting more support from boosters and fans and stuff to where they're able to allocate the money properly. Arkansas has been behind. They just have. Like, when we talk about Sam Pittman a lot and in-game decision-making and all this issues that Pittman had, but he also was very underfunded. And it's not just with NIL, you know, where you're talking about, you know, probably a roster with $10 million less than they have now, probably in NIL and revenue sharing. But also with the coaching staff. I mean, there were coaching staffs that had, you know, beyond the 10 that were used to be the limit, and Arkansas still stuck with 10. You know, fewer analysts, fewer coaches, just fewer, not even having a GM for football, while other teams had that kind of stuff. And now Arkansas has, you know, a GM over the whole athletic department and a GM for football and Geiska Crowley, and, you know, he has support staff and all that stuff. And you have a lot more analysts, you have a lot more on-field coaches. Arkansas has 13 on-field coaches now. But to me, what Silverfield has done so far, I can't take issue with any of it. I think he's done a good job. I think he recognizes some of the issues with Arkansas right now and has some more resources to get things in order. Does he have the elite money that Alabama or Texas or Texas A&M or Georgia or some of those places have? No, they don't have that. But I do feel like they are in the upper half, maybe just inside the upper half of the SEC. So they do have some resources. And, you know, if you ever want to get to the next level and beyond, you got to win with what you have. I always say you got to win with good players before you can win with great players. So I can't find fault with what Silverfield has done so far at Arkansas in terms of building the roster. The one thing that I would say I can't find fault, but the one thing I would say I do find fault in, I'm worried about quarterback, as everybody knows. It doesn't mean to say that I think the quarterbacks are going to suck, because I'm sure that's going to come back to me if, you know, one of them turns out to be great. But I have concern. That's different than saying, oh, these guys suck. I have concern. They could be good, but I don't know that. I don't know that they're good. And what worries me, like, also on top of that, like, usually if you're going to have a good quarterback, if he's going to have a chance to be good, he usually – does pretty outstanding in the spring. And I just didn't see, like, outstanding. I just saw you know, a couple guys, you know, guys that, you know, basically everybody has on their roster, kind of like usually, like even if they end up not being very good, you know, they may have done very well in the spring and in fall camp to where you're like, oh, he might be good. You know, sometimes they are, and that translates over to games. And sometimes, you know, they get under the lights, the game speeds up, and they're just not, and they get hit, you know, everybody's got a plan until they get punched in the mouth, that kind of deal. So, but everything else, I mean, I don't know that you can say like, man, these guys don't get it, or these guys, you know, aren't doing the work that they need to do. I think that they have done that so far. Joshua 11 says, Trey, from your point of view, how do players respond, reach to Coach Ryan Silverfield? Is he a good players? They seem to like him. Is he a good players coach? Who are some other former head coaches that have been good player coaches? They do seem to respond to him. I don't know. There seems to be a good vibe in that regard, but you know, that's a difficult one because I've heard all the time, like, oh, the bond in the locker room, this is as close as we've ever been and all this kind of stuff. We heard that last year and they won two games, you know, like the areas where Arkansas has to do well is they cannot turn the ball over. They spent a lot of time working on turnovers. Memphis was very good in the turnover department in terms of protecting the ball and forcing turnovers. Hopefully that translates over to Arkansas. If it does, if we look at this, like, man, that's a good turnover margin at the end of the year, I bet you'll find Arkansas, you know, being in a bowl game if they have a good turnover margin. Their turnover margin this past year was horrendous, horrendous. Who are some former head coaches who have been good players coaches? Brett Bielema was. He was that. Definitely Houston Nutt. Houston Nutt was definitely a good players coach. They don't care how much you know until they know that you care. Players coach. Like if there was, you know, you open up the dictionary, players coach, there's Houston Nutt. Is quarterback going to be a big problem as it currently sees? Is this a bottom three QB room in the SEC? This is from NEA Hog 12. I mean, it could be. I just don't know, but I think it could be an issue. Again, did not see just like, wow, look how good the quarterbacks are. Man, this guy had a really great day today. You know, just didn't see that. Just didn't see like any just powering your team down the field, you know. And I think the defense is going to be a lot better, and they are going against the one defense a lot, all that kind of stuff. I don't know, but I just didn't see just like greatness. And I want to go back because people are like, you need to go back and watch the Texas game. And I need to go back and watch that. I was there. I watched it live. I don't know that I ever fully rewatched the Texas game aside from clips. And I always do that. And I don't think that I did. So I want to go back and rewatch the Texas game just to see, you know, how KJ performed, kind of break it down a little bit more. And because we do have some on-field examples from him. The thing is, like, neither of these guys – well, I say that. AJ has been put in a critical situation. He was in the game against UAB, led him down the field. They had a lot of turnover – or not a lot of penalty issues in the red zone and just missed a throw. I think the wide receiver just couldn't get his feet quite in while he, you know, possessed the ball on a fourth down where they would have beaten UAB. But – so he has been in that situation, but KJ really hasn't been in a situation in college where the game is on the line. Fourth quarter game is on the line kind of deal. So unprovenness, that's what scares me. Okay, see what we got on the comment side of things. I can't post this one because there's an F word. I'm not sure what you're saying, Savage. Heel? With heel being such a hill. Oh, okay. It's autocorrect. He means hill. Trey, with Hill being such a highly talented quarterback, schools like LSU, Alabama, Ole Miss, Florida State, Penn State on the list goes on that want it Hill, do you think Silverfield would be a heck of a recruiter? I have no idea what you're saying, Savage. I'm sorry. You're going to have to rephrase that, bro. Well, I guess Coach Silverfield got the break on the O-lineman from Ole Miss. Talking about Carius Kern. Yeah, he had fleeing, allegedly, and a possession, allegedly. Let's see. If you're not getting the top player in your state as the only major university in your state, that's a failure. I mean, I think you would be surprised, Josh, over the years, like before the NIL stuff. And first of all, NIL changes everything to where, like, you can't really look at it as like, oh, they didn't get this guy from inside the state. That's a failure because somebody out of state may want to overpay for a guy, you know? But in the past, when, you know, we're sitting there watching, like, you know, top 1, 2, 3 guy in the state, and, you know, it's down to Arkansas and somewhere else, and maybe they get 2 of the 3 and they miss the one, you know, and the one seems to be the guy that everybody wants. When you look on a broader, you know, scale, like you look around the country at different states, Arkansas is pretty elite, or was before the NIL age, was pretty elite at keeping the top players inside the state. Like, I mean, it's not uncommon for, you know, the top players in Pennsylvania to go to Ohio State or Michigan or Wisconsin or, you know, Notre Dame, you know, something like that. But Penn State may pull the top guy out of Michigan or, you know, New York or New Jersey or something, you know. So it's – we look at it from an Arkansas standpoint, but like, that's terrible. You can't do that. But if you extrapolate all the data, you know, all the states, Arkansas has traditionally done pretty well. It's different in – not pretty well, but – really excellent. I mean, even though they've missed some guys here and there, overall, it's excellent. Josh says, we need to flip Sam, and if we don't flip Sam, I will have zero faith in Ryan locking down Arkansas borders. So, Michael Pesky says, Cal is stuck in 2012 and still thinks freshmen can beat 25-year-olds. It will never work. Acuff was one guy, elite guy. And how did that work against Florida and Arizona? Cal is so frustrating. The reason Arkansas didn't advance farther or have more wins wasn't because of Darius Acuff, and it wasn't because of Malik Thomas. You know, it was because they didn't have a big man. They didn't have a veteran big man. But if you look, I mean, look at the NBA draft. Like, who are the top projected guys? Looks like a lot of freshmen to me. I mean, so if Arkansas had Carlos Boozer on last year's team, would they have been good? Yeah, I think so. I think they would have probably had a chance to win it all if they had that one more player who was, by the way, freshman. Leslie Byram, 8934. Cal's always going to take talent over experience. Leslie Byram, 8934. Hopefully we can go 5-2 next 2 weeks and maybe get a regional in Fayetteville if we're lucky. Would take some luck, definitely. All right, everybody. Thanks for joining me. Appreciate the sponsors, appreciate all of you guys, appreciate our subscribers. If you haven't subscribed to Hog Sports, HAWGSports.com, it's 50% off right now at Hog Sports. So go be sure to go check us out. No promo code needed. Just go to HogSports.com, sign up, and you'll get the deal. Thanks to Kevin Bohannon for hopping on with us. Thanks to Connor Goodson as well. And appreciate all of your comments and your viewership. We really appreciate you guys making the show what it is. If you haven't left us a 5-star review on Apple Podcast or Spotify or anywhere else, please do so. This has been Trey Biddy with HogSports.com. We'll catch you next time.
Criminal Minds Evolution is back on Paramount Plus.
Do you think it's possible to discern some hidden patterns shared by all serial killers?
With a new killer each week.
I see those wheels turning.
When a copycat killer emerges, the BAU will form a dark alliance with a familiar foe.
Elias, would you help us?
This season, evil is contagious.
Once it starts, it can't be stopped.
Criminal Minds Evolution. New season now streaming on Paramount+.